This is show number 281 for Sunday, June 8th, 2008. I'm Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, here with E, who is sitting right here next to me in my office. Hello, E.
Hello, everybody.
Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I missed it last week.
Yeah, we didn't do a show last week. I had too many things to do. I had my private life I had to deal with.
Life does get in the way sometimes.
And to be clear, a lot of people think that I had to take my wife to see the movie.
No.
Sex and the City movie, and
that was not it.
She had already seen it, so it's not like I had to cancel the entire weekend so I could take my wife to the movies, but that was out. Did you see the movie?
I have not seen it, nor will I be seeing it.
A friend of mine saw it and said, it's a sad day when that movie is better than the Raiders of the Lost Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. So. Did you see the shtick Best Buy set up along with it?
No.
Best Buy sent employees to go work a whole bunch of theaters to get the attention of the husbands and boyfriends who got dragged along and try to sell them shiny electronics.
Do they bring any shiny electronics with them?
I didn't see beyond that, but I could totally see, you know, getting dragged to something like that and be like, ooh, I'm going over there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's a great idea, though, because I know that if I had to go, I'd be, you know, come on, guys. And I know there's some guys and maybe girls who are listening to this who are probably dreading it. And so
Thankfully, I did not get dragged to it. I'm not going to. I'm very happy about that.
So, but apparently the movie's quite good. So maybe I'll end up seeing it on cable or what have you. Anyway, so it's a lot has happened in 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Well, it's rained enough to start an arc.
Right.
But is that not what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about all the cool Xbox news. You want to go over the headlines? First of all, we've got, as usual, I've got some great interviews.
Wait. So this is at least two shows in a row, maybe more, where you've said, do you want to go over the headlines? And then you've immediately gone into the headlines.
Right. Well, no, I keep forgetting because I have this page in front of me that's, you know, I've got my notes here and it says who we're going to have on the show.
Then didn't we just go through an exercise of my writing down on the whiteboard what we're going to talk about? No, you clearly want to do it.
No,
so
I don't.
You should go.
Well, I'm just so excited
about pointing this out.
I'm excited about one of the interviews.
Well, one of them is awesome.
They're all great, but one of them was a little crazy.
Well, yeah, we don't want to make anyone feel bad.
Right.
But one of them was kind of special.
Right.
So
I'll let you do that.
The special one or the other
one? No, I'll let you go through. Give me a show rundown of the interviews.
So interview number one is with Josh from Astro Gaming, the makers of some very high-end headsets for gaming and pro gamers.
And this is, I wanted to get him on because, as you said, they make some really high-end stuff. And next, depending upon when you're listening to this, the following Sunday of when this airs is Father's Day. So, gentlemen, if you're looking for some ideas to give your husband or your wife or the significant other in your life, this is what it is.
Okay, since it's Father's Day, instead of it being gentlemen, shouldn't it be, hey, ladies?
Well, I don't think I have a lot of ladies that listen to the show. That's the problem.
I know of a couple.
Okay, well.
How about this? Gentlemen, if you need something, you know, for a good hint to drop, here's a suggestion.
Okay, so go ahead. Who else do we have on?
Okay. We have the associate producer of Aces of the Galaxy.
Which was the arcade title that was recently released.
Last Wednesday, I believe.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm.
And the extra special interview, we have Sig from the Northwestern of Deadliest Catch fame.
So Sig, the Deadliest Catch game is coming out from Green Wave. It's coming out, and it's going to come out very soon, probably in the next month.
Yep.
And you and I went down there last week, and, well, The interview itself, you were there for the interview.
Yes, it was great. I had a blast.
So we were doing it. Literally, Sig was sitting in his captain's chair, and I was sitting next to him standing next to him. And we were doing the interview, so we had a lot of fun. So that's going to come up later in the show.
Yep.
You can look at metadata on the show, and you'll see when you can fast forward or rewind to the segment that most interests you.
And are you going to throw links up to the pics?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And you have pics. Yeah, you took pictures there. Well,
I stupidly forgot my camera. Thankfully, you had yours.
Right.
So we got some pics of me, of you, of Sig, of the boat. It was a good time.
You and I in the boat, Sig in the boat, you and me and Sig. Yeah, so is everybody. It was a lot of fun.
No crabs in the boat.
No crabs on the boat. So all right. So let's go Xbox News. Do you want to talk about what you've been playing, or do you want to talk about what we'll get for headlines?
Headlines first.
Okay.
There are a ridiculous amount of demos that have come out since we did our last show.
Yeah, it's been demotacular.
There you go. One of them, at least for me, is one I've been waiting a long time for. Civilization Revolution.
Now, you lost most of actually, I can't take credit for this line. It was the games editor, Denny. He said he's worried because he lost most of 1991 to Civ. So,
oh, I still have a policy of, like, every time I get a new computer, right, one of the first things I do is load Civ 2 on it.
Right.
Because if I'm traveling, I'm in an airport, a hotel, or whatever, I can easily blow the entire night playing Civ 2. I love that game.
So the Civ demo's up.
So Civ Revolution, the first Civilization for consoles.
Yes.
That just went up a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. The Battlefield Bad Company demo is now up.
Yummy.
We've got the demo for Ninja Gaiden 2.
Right.
Some people got that a little while ago. Everyone's got it now by the time you're hearing this.
Yep.
The demo for Crash Time, mm-hmm, and NASCAR 09.
NASCAR 09.
Those are all up.
I did a Majors Minute around the NASCAR 09, and even there's a grid demo that went up earlier this month.
You did a Majors Minute on NASCAR? Because you're totally what I think of when I think of NASCAR.
What? Well, it was more about racing, and that's up this week. You can go check that out. And it's I was in one of those racing suits, you know, the protective ones they wear.
Oh, Nomex.
And
yeah. Oh, those are cool.
I got it from the Forza guys.
I have to go watch this now because I did not see this one.
Well, here's a little secret. You want some behind the scenes stuff? So they gave me this suit. One of the guys back there, it's his. We take the same size. So I put this Nomex suit on. I'm dying because I'm in the studio and it's like a billion degrees.
Right.
And the problem was that the suit is from it's a European racing suit. So it's cut much closer. So it's a European racing suit. So it's got right over the left chest, it has a Peugeot logo.
Okay.
And so the guys back at Forts were like, you can't wear that with NASCAR because there's no Peugeot in NASCAR. They'd never allow it.
Right.
So if you watch the Majors Minute, you'll notice the Peugeot is kind of blurred out.
they did an effect over
like it. Like an MTV style, you know, when they used to do that. So that's why it's blurred out, because it's actually a Peugeot logo. And they didn't. And I told them, like, look, nobody. I said, frankly, I think when you do that, it draws more attention to it.
Yeah, there's people trying to figure out, well, what car, what logo was it?
It was a Peugeot logo, so.
Very cool.
So you need to watch that one.
Okay.
So NASCAR demo. What else do we have up there? We just went through them all. So you haven't played any of them yet?
I have not. I actually just downloaded the Civ demo last night. Mm-hmm. But I wound up getting distracted doing something else, and then I fell asleep, so I haven't actually played it yet.
So we've got, what have you been playing otherwise? I mean, because there's been some great games out.
There have been a ton of great games.
Well, Ninja Gaiden shipped. That ship. Did you see my Ninja Gaiden Majors Minute? The one with Ask a Ninja?
Yes. Oh. That was awesome. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's let's see. We'll just talk about what I've been playing. I've been playing Ninja Gaiden. I got to tell you, I'm not a racing guy, but I've been playing Grid.
Really?
Yeah, Grid's just a lot of fun. It's doing really well in the ratings. I'll tell you why it's fun for me. It has the undo feature. So you and I were talking about it just a moment ago, so I have this really bad habit of, I'm very binary when I'm playing a racing game.
You totally suck or?
No. I'm either all on the brake or all on the gas.
Ah, gotcha.
So when you're all on the gas, you tend to plow into the wall. So they've got this feature where, and I haven't quite figured it out yet, because I haven't RTFM, I haven't looked at the manual. But you can, if you hit the wall or you get into an accident, you can actually rewind like 10 or 15 seconds, and it's a do-over. So I've been able to use that. So I'm really having and not only that, but there's a lot of different cars, and there's different tracks, and you're racing these little cars and stock cars, and anyway, so it's a lot of fun. So I've been having a lot of fun with Grid, and it's giving the achievements the way that I need to get the achievements. I get an achievement for Crash.
Oh,
nice. I get an achievement for crashing and blocking the raceway. So things like that. So they're my kind of achievements. So I've been playing a lot of Grid, and it's let's see, what else did I put in?
I like the replay feature because I love that in Full Auto.
Right.
Now that's a little more of a, you know, super fast crashing game.
Right.
But boy, does that come in handy.
Yeah, so that I've been playing a lot of that. What else did I take a look at? I did Iron Man, Quake Wars. I threw in Quake Wars.
Yeah, I'm going to wind up playing that.
That one really confused me because I was playing it in the office, and you know, a lot of people think that I just sit around here and play games in my office, and I don't.
Well, yeah.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I do have like an hour or two a week where I'll just throw the game in and just give it some time.
And let KP come in and get achievements for you.
No, I'm actually very clear is that sometimes, you know, I have a large screen here in my office and I have the Xbox 360 up and I'm always got a different type of game up and people will come in and start playing. And as with anything, some people are better at games than I am or I'm better at others. It's just, it's not like it's by design. It's just happenstance that sometimes some people unlock achievements.
Uh-huh.
And I am completely honest, but like Trixie will come in and she's got all the Zoom achievements. But she was
playing that again the other day.
But I was playing Quake Wars. And I wasn't really paying attention. I went to the campaign, and the campaign is essentially offline multiplayer, if that makes any sense at all.
It's multiplayer with bots.
Right. So I was playing that, and it's there's a lot of game there. I need to spend some more time with that. Maybe you and I can give that a spin.
Yeah, that's old school shooter. I want to give that a whirl and see what it's like.
Right. So that's kind of absolutely. And you've been playing. What have you been playing?
I've been playing LEGO Indie.
Mm-hmm.
I am having a lot of fun with that game.
Good.
It is.
I gotta put that in this. I think you know what. I think I'm gonna put that in maybe tonight.
It. Well, so for our listeners, if you liked the LEGO Star Wars games, any of them,
who didn't,
you'll like LEGO Indie.
Right.
It very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Having a lot of fun with it. If you're an indie fan, you want to play it. It's the game is the first three Indiana Jones movies.
Right.
It is not Crystal Skull.
Right.
So for those of you who may not have thought Crystal Skull lived up to. To the Indiana Jones reputation, this is just the old stuff.
This is what you need.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
So to sidetrack us yet again, this got a really interesting conversation going at my house the other day because my girlfriend was playing it and mm-hmm. she's flying through it like twice as fast as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is going on?
She's better at it.
And well, yeah, that too, but. We started talking about, well, why is one of us better at some games than the other, et cetera, et cetera. The conclusion we came to is it has a lot to do with what kind of game you started playing when you first became a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started gaming, I was playing arcade ports and text adventures like Zork. They didn't have platformers
Witness,
like this out
then. Witness.
Witness, yeah. Deadline, yep. Planetfall.
Planetfall, yeah.
Floyd Here Now.
Right.
That was classic.
Love it.
Her very first game was Tomb Raider.
Okay.
There's a great correlation between Tomb Raider and yep. a game like LEGO Indie.
Absolutely.
And I've started now wandering around asking people, so what kind of games did you start playing? Well, what kind of games are you best at?
Right.
And
there's a correlation?
I think so. So far, I haven't asked a lot of people yet. I'm actually curious, though. People who are listening to this, go comment on the post. And what did you play first? What are you best at now, and do you actually believe there's a correlation between the two?
Or send E a message over live is gamertag is E,
and you
can
work too.
And you can. We'd love to know what did you first play, and do you think it has an impact on your gaming? I kind of have to agree with you there. Although one of my first games was like we were talking about this Pong,
right?
Which was when they used to sell them at Sears.
Yes.
Yeah. I think was there ever a
pre-Magnavox Odyssey?
Right. But was there ever a Kenmore version?
They did. There was a Sears version of the Atari 2600.
Right. Maybe that's what my mom bought us. Because remember, it had four different games. It had like the single paddles, the dual paddles.
I think that was. Well, you might be thinking of the Magnavox.
No, I'm not thinking of the Magnavox. I know that for a fact.
Sure?
Yeah, okay. I can see it. It's Super Pong. That's
Super.
I'm gonna have to look at Wikipedia.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure I remember that one.
It had a little switch 1, 2, 3, 4 at the bottom, and that was it basically controlled the game. So I'll take a look at that. But yeah, I think you're right. You know what game you kind of start playing is where you. Clearly, I didn't start playing fighting games or driving games.
Yeah, I'm right with you on the driving game thing. The other thing that I think makes a difference actually is, like a lot of guys, I have a little bit of color blindness. And
yeah.
I think something like 10% of the male population is red-green colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not completely red-green colorblind, mm-hmm. but I do. I have trouble picking up colors that are close to each other unless I'm kind of looking directly at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't tend to get into the secret areas because the visual clues on the screen that, hey, there's something over here, I don't see them.
Right, drive right by them.
If I like stop playing and look at the screen, I'll go, oh, right there.
Right, but when you're in the zone,
yeah, I
your
don't even notice it.
Doesn't. Okay,
and people are yelling at me like, "Go grab that thing!" And I'm like, "What thing?"
Yeah. Well, what are you talking about? You know what I did this week?
What?
I broke 17,000 gamer score.
Very nice.
I did that. I don't even remember what it was. Just some people started sending me messages saying, "Hey, congratulations, breaking 70,000." Oh, I did.
Hey,
I did.
Do you know?
Look at that.
So you're about 2,000 gamer score behind me.
Yeah, you're like 18,900. I looked at you last night.
I was 18,900.
Yes. Oh, you went. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Good for you.
So you're not going to catch me.
It's all right. I'm just having fun. That's the most important thing.
Okay. I started getting the indie ones, and I hadn't played much in a while, and getting the achievement, it's like, oh yeah, I like that. That feels good.
So gone through kind of what we've been playing. Do you want to do news now, or do you want to stop and want me to roll some of these interviews? Or the interviews,
or two more news things as long as we're doing it, and then...
Oh, you know what we want to talk about? We're just talking about all the demos available. There's some... If you're in the U.S., we've got some great movies on the video marketplace. Do you have the list?
Yeah, I do, and I think actually I may watch one or two of these tonight.
Hit me.
There's actually a couple really good movies that just went up. Cloverfield, available in HD. Now, some people loved this movie. Some people hated it. I thought the ultimate description was Blair Witch meets Godzilla.
Right.
If that sounds good to you, if you haven't seen Cloverfield, watch it.
Right.
So you saw it in the theaters, right?
I did not.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. You need to come over and catch it on my big screen.
I'll download it.
With the surround sound then. Yeah. It's Cloverfield was really good.
Right.
National Treasure 2 in HD.
Right.
Which the Munchkin is telling me I need to see. I saw the original.
Right.
He went and saw this with his mom.
Yeah.
I need to go catch it.
Right.
Golden Compass in HD. Good flick.
Okay.
Semi-Pro in HD.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen that. And South Park Imagination Land in HD. The uncut version. Now, the uncut version of South Park, it's like, wait a minute, what did they cut?
Yeah.
What
exactly?
It's South Park.
It's South Park.
What on earth did they have cut?
There's going to be there's a lot of good content up there on the video marketplace if you're in the U.S. And we've got video marketplace in Canada, France, Germany, U.K.
And Ireland, I think.
It's
not all the same content in every country
so,
because of licensing and blah, blah, blah.
That crazy Hollywood stuff.
Yes, but it is available. You can get movies in all those countries.
I'm actually excited. You know, E3 is coming up and Comic-Con.
Yes.
And for E3, we're going down, and I'm actually going to, one day or one evening, I'm having lunch with one of my college roommates, who I'm not going to say where he works, but he is a really, really high-level executive at a movie studio.
He's a Hollywood mucky muck.
Yeah, and so he's and let's be clear, when I was in college, when I went to Syracuse University, and he was a geek. Oh, I was a geek, and he wasn't. So what happened was is I would always get that call. And guys and girls listening that are geeks out there, you know this story. When you get the call from the friend of yours who's like, I lost my derm paper. I can't find it. So
yes.
I rescued this guy quite a few times. So I'm going to – anyway, I don't want to say where he works. But I'm really excited to talk to him because I haven't spent some time in a while to talk about, you know, what his theory is on gaming because he works for an old school, really big studio.
Right.
Really big.
That'll
studio.
Be interesting.
Yeah, so I'm gonna definitely do that at E3. But then right after that is Comic-Con, and we're gonna be down at Comic-Con as well.
I want to find a way to go to Comic-Con. Just, I mean, there's no business reason for me to go. I just want to go.
Right.
That'd just be fun.
Yeah.
So
it'll be a lot of fun. So what else we got?
What else? The top 10.
Top 10 list, which I post on majornelson.com, my blog, each week. We had a little bit of an upsetty.
Yes, and by judging from the number of comments on that post,
yes.
People did not see that coming.
So what happened was, E, explain it.
GTA has held the top spot on Xbox Live since release. It is no longer the number one most played game on Live.
Yeah.
GTA 4 has dropped to third place.
Right.
And first place was retaken by Call of Duty 4, and Halo 2 is back in second place.
Exactly. So this is... As some of the folks around here said, I think we know how long it takes for people to finish the single-player game.
Yeah. In my case, I've got a long, long ways to go.
You do.
I haven't gotten back to GTA. I've gotten distracted.
Right.
And I know I said I was going to finish GTA before Ninja Gaiden 2.
You did.
I wish I hadn't said that.
You
Oops.
Did.
It's been busy lately.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on around here.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, it's nothing we can talk about, but just the stuff we're doing for this holiday is right now people are really, you know, working overtime around here to make all that stuff happen.
Right. So. We're already thinking holiday, even though we can't seem to get into summer yet, as you and I look at the rain and
the huge puddle out in the parking lot.
There's crazy weather around the world. You know, everybody says it's global warming. I'm like, well, why isn't it warm?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. I thought we were into spring and summer. It was nice. It was sunny. I was up in Vancouver for the weekend.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I wish I'd brought shorts. It's great here.
Right.
And now it's...
Not so much.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna do news on the other side of the interviews.
Okay.
All right, so
there's a lot of news.
We have a lot of news. We've got a lot of stuff to go over, so we're gonna go ahead and do that. We're gonna stop. I'm gonna roll those interviews for you, and keep listening because we're gonna give away some stuff in the interviews.
My exact title is pretty nebulous. It's a producer.
Okay, producer.
Which means I keep the show on the road. You know, I produce events, but I also produce products.
Right.
I don't design products. We have a team of designers that are just absurdly talented upstairs. You know, if you've ever seen a guy who can draw anything in a second,
yeah.
You know, that's, you know, these guys are just extremely imaginative, right, and understand consumer products like nothing.
Okay.
I help spec out the product. Like, you know, I'm the gamer.
Right.
You know, I'm the kind of the ultimate consumer is what they call me. They're like, you're just crazy.
All right, so we're going to stop right now because we got to introduce you. So,
all right, sorry.
So that's okay. So, Josh, and how do you pronounce your last name?
Letendris.
Josh Letendris from Astro Gaming. Now, a lot of people, some people may know Astro Gaming because they actually have influence of Astro in their house probably right now.
Yep.
And that would be?
The Astro A40 audio system.
Well, besides that.
Well, okay. Product that you guys might have heard about is the Microsoft Xbox 360.
Right. You guys worked on that.
Yeah, we were one of the two design firms. The other design firm was from Japan,
mm-hmm,
that did the industrial design, the controller, all the accessories in the Xbox 360 itself,
mm-hmm,
initially for Microsoft.
And then you guys also were involved with the design as well.
Yes.
But I had you know, you guys have this cool new product. Explain the new product that's out.
The new product is a headset audio system that we call the A40 audio system, and it is kind of born out of a competitive need, and really it serves the professional level gamers in that it gives them a very clean, very dedicated private voice chat system, and it gives it all in the same headset. So instead of using the Microsoft Xbox Live communicator,
mm-hmm,
which covers one of your ears,
mm-hmm,
when you're trying to listen to sound, we put it all into the same headset system.
I want to be very clear here. You sent me a sample a few months ago, and then you sent me the final version.
Yep.
I tried the sample, and I talked about it on a show probably about 3 or 4 months ago, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I didn't want to do a full version, a full quote-unquote review until I could get you here. And this was... It was really mind-blowing, and I must warn everyone, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
How much do they retail for?
The package retails for $250.
Okay.
Now, if you buy it separate, it's $199 for the headset and $129 for the mix amp.
And now the mix amp, though, is really where a lot of the magic happens.
That's the brain.
Right.
It mixes different streams of audio, mixes your game sound, mixes in voice communication, and it also can mix in separate a third kind of a track that's, mm-hmm, controlled by whatever your device is, like say an iPod. So, mm-hmm, if you wanted to just plug in your iPod into it, there's a port for that.
Mm-hmm.
They also plug into each other, so they
daisy chain. So you can gang them all together.
You can gang them all in. We call it daisy chaining.
Okay.
They come with their own little daisy chain connector, and it instantly sets up a private voice communication network for how many mix amps you and your friends might have.
So you use that when you're on, or they're used in professional gaming.
Yeah, in the Major League Gaming, the pro circuit, you'll see these pro racks, these Astro Pro racks, where there are mix amps already populated and already connected digitally through the Dolby Digital connector on the Xbox 360. They're already daisy chained. So what the pro players do, they just plug in their headset and they're all ready to go. They're plugged into the game, they're plugged into their team. They're boom. They're done.
The reason I wanted to get you on was because I wanted to talk about the product, but more importantly, Father's Day is coming up, and I know there's a lot of people that listen to my show that are fathers, or maybe they're mothers and they're looking for something for the gift for the,
sure,
for the father in their
or graduates.
Or graduates, exactly. Yep. Your product is, again, as you said, it's kind of a premium experience.
Sure.
But it's one that I wanted to talk about because it's really amazing. First of all, in addition to taking the live voice, so your voice chat that you have in any of your games, you siphon that through the headset, or
yes,
route that through the headset.
Yep.
But you also have full Dolby stereo in the headset.
Dolby, it actually decodes either Dolby Digital,
okay,
or Dolby Prologic 2,
okay,
via analog. It's kind of a Swiss Army knife.
Okay,
that's got what we like to call it. It's got coaxial and Toslink connectors on there, so all your digital connections are taken care of. It's got a multitude of analog connections, and these cables, so the analog cables all come with it, and you can buy a separate digital audio connector, whatever length or type you need,
right,
separately. And it so it decodes Dolby Digital, and then it encodes in Dolby Headphone, which is a kind of another layer of Dolby technology. Yeah,
explain that to me. Because you're an old audio guy, and that's why I'm thrilled to talk to you, because everyone knows I'm crazy about audio. So explain that to us.
Dolby Headphone is an amazing technology, and it's actually been pretty hard to get up until now. Not many companies offer Dolby Headphones. Like you can't really get it on a sound card very easily. You can't really – not many like home audio receivers have it. It's mostly for portable devices like this. And this is – you know, the A40 mix amp is very portable. What Dolby Headphone does is kind of tricks your brain using just two speakers into thinking that you're listening to a full 5.1 system.
Mm-hmm.
It's the next best thing to having discrete audio, like five speakers around you plus that
sitting
subwoofer.
Sitting in a room with a 5.1.
Yeah. But you don't disturb anybody, and it's private, and you hear your own dedicated theater right in a pair of headphones. It's phenomenal. There's a lot of competing technology. There is, you know, there's some kind of like knockoff brands of it, but man, Dolby has we did our research, and we wanted to pick a technology company, and Dolby was just hands down leagues ahead of everybody else.
So and let's be clear, so it's officially licensed Dolby technology.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys use. I mean,
definitely.
Clearly, and I want to, you know, I have a pair that you generously sent me, and I'm using it at home, and I talked about it last time. Guys and girls, this could save your marriage.
Definitely.
For the guys who like to, or maybe the girls that like to, if you like to go off and have your gaming room and you still want to have that full 5.1-esque experience,
yep.
But keep the peace in your house because maybe you have little ones at the other end of the
totally.
House that are sleeping, or maybe a spouse wants to read or watch TV or something. This allows you to coexist peacefully yet not peacefully, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you just like if your wife's like, all I hear is shooting.
Right.
You know,
turn that down. How many times have we heard that?
Turn that down. Now you don't have to.
Right.
One of our customers, one of our early customers, and by the way, we just launched this in early April, late April, early May.
Right.
So it's a really new product. So even if you're hearing about it, the podcast now, it's like you're one of the first to have it.
Right.
So it's not in stores. It's only online. So you know
they can only buy it at astrogaming.com.
They
correct.
Can only buy it at astrogaming.com.
Okay.
One of our early customers, to get back on subject, is actually has a baby monitor plugged into the MP3 slot. So little 3.5 jack plugs in his baby monitor while he's gaming.
Right.
He can control the volume of it. You know, it just kind of, it's versatile. It's,
right.
Like I said, it's a Swiss Army knife, and you know, customers are using it, really, really intelligently.
So his baby is sleeping, you know, in the next room or a couple
exactly.
rooms away, and the baby monitor so he can hear if the baby needs any attention, but he's still immersed. That is a great use.
It's phenomenal. You know, and whereas he wasn't able to play with sound before.
Right, because the baby's sleeping.
Because the baby's sleeping, and,
right.
and he couldn't hear the baby monitor. Kind
right.
of two strikes.
Right.
Now he can do everything at once.
So that's why I wanted to get you in here, because I was so thrilled when I started listening to this. Like, this is what everybody asks for.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't really know what they want either.
Right.
You know, we kind of assume that, you know, there are products out there that, oh, man, I didn't know I want that. Man, I want that.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a product that it has a lot of cachet, a lot of desire factor.
And it has a lot of – it's very flexible. What's great about it is, you know, I have mine hooked up to the Toslink, so I have the full
right on.
The Dolby experience. But it's also it runs power off the USB port.
Yep, and we tried to be as versatile as we could there, just because you know I'm kind of the ultimate consumer, so I was like, you know what, it has to accept AA batteries, it has to accept you know nickel metal hydride batteries if I just want to use my own,
right,
and it also has to have an optional battery pack that
right.
recharges on the USB power,
right.
or you can just run on USB power,
right.
So
I didn't even know that there was a battery pack.
There is.
I mean, I know it's in the package, but I just plugged it right in with the USB, and I was off to the races.
Yeah, if you never move it, you don't ever have to use that battery pack,
right?
But yeah, it's there if you want it. So if you're kind of shuttling it between your PC and your 360, it's kind of the ultimate solution.
Let's talk about the audio controller.
Okay.
Okay, because that you said is the brains of the of
it
everything.
Is. It's got a lot of inputs, and it's got two controls. It's pretty intuitive.
Right.
One of the main advantages of the A40 system is that you can balance out exactly how much voice or how much game you want precisely.
I love that dial.
You know, usually customers only set it once, but you know, if you you know, if you have like a friend that's really quiet, you can dial in more voice and get a little less game, bring up everything overall. So it's got a big master volume control and a balance control. And that's really it.
And I've noticed that I use it a lot because sometimes when I'm like maybe when I'm playing some online multiplayer games on Xbox Live, you know, I can turn it so I hear voice and game equally. And when I'm playing a single player, I just turn it all the way back so that it gets a richer. And I play my games pretty loud.
Right on.
Because I think I'm partially deaf. But it's
most
it's,
audio guys are.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, I love the big dial. It's so it's such a great little design. You just turn it up, you turn it down, and then of course the other one you got mute.
Yeah, exactly. Mute or off, and there's another mute control.
Right, you've got the inline mute as well.
Inline mute. If you, you know, the, actually one of the cool things about it, the microphone is so good that if you just and so directional, so you call it unidirectional or sinusoidal.
Right.
If you want to,
thank you.
You know, $3.
Well done.
Thank you. You can just lift it up off your, you know, you it just, you know,
it pivots
the,
up.
The boom pivots up. And it's so directional that that's an ostensibly another mute.
Right.
It just doesn't detect your voice.
Just goes away.
Once it's up here.
And the you talked about, you know, the interfacing with the Xbox 360. You've got the mini connector that goes into this mix, and it goes right into the Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah, that's just a pretty standard 2.5 millimeter jack.
On the controller itself.
So if you had, like, say, a Motorola phone, you probably are familiar with that jack.
Yep.
That's your, like, little headphone jack. And you might not know this, but if you take the 2.5 millimeter connector and attach it to your phone instead of your Xbox 360 controller, you can now take calls.
Oh, wait a minute. So wait a minute. I can have the baby monitor. You can have all that. You could actually hook that up to your phone.
You can hook it up if you have a Motorola phone.
Right. A phone that takes the 2.5 millimeter.
Phone that takes 2.5. It's not proprietary. We didn't futz with anything.
Right.
Again, it's pretty standard stuff. We want our customers to be able to decide how this product gets used. So you can instead be taking a phone call, mm-hmm. playing a game, and nobody would know the wiser.
Did you guys ever think of using Bluetooth?
We did, but. Again, this
anywhere. I don't know where you would use it in this.
We're thinking about it, but you have to remember that this product is born and for the competitive level of gamers.
Right.
So, you know, when you're talking about Bluetooth and you're talking about wireless technology, it has to coexist with thousands of pro gamers at these events and play nice.
Right.
And right now, we don't know of that technology.
Good.
We're working on it.
Right.
We'd love to. And maybe after we kind of launch this product, I mean, this is a flagship product and we're really concentrated on the pro gaming experience and enhancing that.
Right.
Once we've kind of maybe, you know, knocked that off the list, we'll probably go down the line into, you know, an enhanced consumer experience and create a wireless product that we're happy with.
But we're talking about the headset for a moment. It plugs in using the 2.5 millimeter into the Xbox 360. But the headset alone is actually a fascinating design because we talked about the boom for a second. The boom actually can snap off and go to the other side.
Well, don't say snap off.
What's it, pop off?
It disconnects.
It disconnects, and a snap sounds cheap.
Yes, it disconnects, and we've got receptacles for the connector on either side of the headset. So if you're like a lefty, and you don't, and you want your left eye dominant, you don't want that boom in your face on that side, you can just have it on the other side.
Right.
Or you can just take it off and have a pair of headphones.
Right.
So it's a headset and a headphone. You know, if you're traveling with it and you want a pair of nice cans to travel with.
You're the only one I know who calls them cans. I call them cans, too.
Cans, studio cans. You have the ability to just take off the mic and not look like, you know, Major Nelson.
Right, look like a geek.
Look like a geek.
As it were,
on the bus, on the plane, on the train.
And then you also have the sides that pop off.
Yeah, we call those speaker tags.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of a cool little It almost unintentional on our part, but it kind of developed into a pretty cool little product platform where we've got a nifty little plate held on by neodymium magnets. They're really strong, and you can take them off, and you can make your headset open air, or, you know, there's a little logo on there, and we're planning on, we've got a whole bunch of stuff in the works. You know, we've got an MLG tag, we've got an Astro tag, we've got specific tags for the MLG events. Every venue this year will release a limited edition tag, so you can kind of put on whatever tag you want. And in the future, you know, we're testing some new technology. We've got a new printer technology where we can create customized and personalized speaker tags for our customers in the near future. You know, like we're really there. You know, we tested a new printer. I saw it on Monday, and I was just blown away. I'm just like, we've got to have
this. So we could do a Major Nelson set.
Yeah, we could do a Major Nelson set.
Because I need my Major Nelson headsets. I need those back.
You're on the short list, man.
Okay, I know.
Don't worry.
They're really comfortable. They are a lot of people aren't used to the closed ear because they're used to the iPod in the ear thing. So it does take some getting used to, but you also get a much richer and fuller experience.
The point is, these features are developed for gamers. Like, I don't know of another headset, of another company that's kind of from the ground up developing high-end accessories for gamers.
Right.
Other than Microsoft, of course. Right. Like, right. You're just like, you know, it's just a different development process. You know, from the packaging, from the carrying case, from the philosophy of the design, you know, these features are, you know, just, you know, for the ultimate gamer. Like, this will make you happy, we think.
And that's why I wanted to get you on, because we talked about it's a great gift for graduations or Father's Day or any time. But there's such a high quality thing. This is a special item. That's what I want to get across. This is a special item that, and I truly believe this, because it's kept peace in my house.
Right on.
It really has. You know, my wife will, you know, she'll want to read her book or something, and I can go up and play Ninja Gaiden or something else. And I've got it cranked up. And, you know, I think I played through 99% of GTA with these headphones on, you know, with that set at home. And it was a great experience. It was a really cool experience to be able to just enjoy the game. Because game developers, you know, you've heard me talk about this on the show all the time. The unsung hero of gaming is the audio. I mean, graphics are important, but people can easily look at those.
The A40 system, with its very clean Dolby Digital processing, actually uncovers a lot of deficiencies in games, but it also just reveals so many. My favorite game is actually Burnout Paradise.
Really?
For surround audio.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
Right.
Go back to that and just listen to that.
Give that a try.
Give it a whirl.
I tried. One of the ones I tried was my favorite game, BioShock.
Right on.
Which, you know, that alone, we always play that and it was creepy. But when you put and I played on my 5.1 system and I'm in the middle of it. But now it's closer, it's tighter, it's wild.
The A40 headset is very directional. You'll find that it's got a very accurate bass. It's not boomy or muddy. But we've tuned it so that upper mid-range bass is very prominent, and that you'll hear directionality very cleanly, very clearly. And that's because it's developed for the shooter crowd. You know, you've got to know where your opponent is coming from, where the action is coming from.
Right.
And, you know, that's really the way it's tuned.
Yeah, when you put these headphones on, you know, we talked about this a little earlier, but you feel like in Halo 3, you can hear, or even Halo 2, You can hear your enemy behind you. You know, you can hear the grunts when you're playing the single player and so on and so forth. So you do hear, you do get the sense of directionalness, if that's the word.
And by the way, like, this product was developed with, you know, we co-developed this product with pro gamers, a pro gaming team called Straight Rippin'. Some of your listeners might know these guys. You know, T-Squared and Fonzine Fallacy and Captain Anarchy were, you know, our primary testers, and we had this huge rig kind of that we carried around in the 2006 and 2007 seasons. And at the end of the 2007 season, we actually got banned by the MLG because, like, we couldn't offer it to as many teams as were asking for it.
Right.
It was actually kind of unfair for the teams that didn't have it. So
you've been developing this product for that long.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
We've had it in the works for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've put a lot of money and effort and time into it.
What are some of the other products from Astro that people may know? Just to talk about some of the design chops.
Well, to be clear, Astro Studios and Astro Gaming are two different companies.
Right.
We're spun off of Astro Studios.
Sure.
Astro Studios, like, just a laundry list of consumer products that you'll know, like the Nike Tri-X watch, the HP Compaq iPack, the Alienware Ultimate PCs. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff for HP, lots of stuff for Procter & Gamble. And next month, you know, they're going to be kind of a reveal of some cool stuff we've done as well. And lots more Astro Gaming stuff to come.
Right.
You know, I can't announce anything right now except for, you know, we really want to kind of enhance the lifestyle of the gaming hobby. You know, we think it's a valid and cool to be a gamer. You know, that's maybe something that people haven't realized so far. You know, we think
I think my audience has.
I hope they have. But, you know, as we're getting older, I mean, I think that, you know, games have gone from toys to, you know, serious hardware.
And to a big business.
To a big business. But the accessories haven't really followed that track. Mm-hmm. You know, we still are kind of mired in the toy industry kind of quality. And this is coming from a completely different place.
You know, since you're an audio guy, and you tell me you do a lot in home theater, what's your home rig like? Besides the A40s,
It's out of control.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk get geeky for me.
Oh, boy. I've got two 80-inch high server racks that hold all of my equipment. I've got an old Cinepro feeder amplifier. It's a 1,200 watts per channel times 6.
Mm-hmm.
Cinepro 3K6 SE, I think it is.
Okay.
It's a beast.
Yep.
It will take your speakers and tell them what to do.
Among other things.
I can break my
lease.
And
make them like it.
I can break my lease anytime I want. let me just put it that way. I don't measure my screen in inches anymore. And yeah, I just got a 1080p projector. That's pretty phenomenal.
So do you use that just for console gaming, or do you also have a PC hooked up to it?
I've got a pretty awesome PC as well. Late last year, I built an HT PC for that. It's got a touchscreen in front. It's got one of these massive high-definition touchscreens. It's like a 12-inch touchscreen in the front. And the whole thing kind of motors down and reveals the disk drives.
So, really?
It's awesome. And I built it. You know, it's got the... You know,
so you built it?
Oh, I built it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you had to... I mean, just the dang case is like...
Touchscreens alone are expensive.
$1,200 for the case. Right. This is awesome case. God, I wish I'd...
Well, send me the link and I'll put it up.
I'll send you the link. I'll send you a link to my house.
Yeah.
I've got this...
Do you?
...out of control loft. And,
oh, I'd love to take a look at that. Now, before I let you go, I got to ask you, you know, because I ask everybody, what's your gamer tag?
Stormy PA. No. It's PA Stormy.
PA Stormy.
PA Stormy. I used to write for Penny Arcade.
Yeah, that's right. So people may know you from that.
My handle is Stormy. A lot of my friends call me Stormy.
Right.
It's kind of a shortened version of Storm Shadow. I used to go by like Storm Shadow. It's an old G.I. Joe comic book character.
Right.
But thankfully, Mike, Jerry, and Pork Fry over at Penny Arcade just shortened it to what a 12-year-old girl would call her pony.
Right.
Stormy.
So that's where that's from.
That's where that's from.
Now, before maybe I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking for the past 20 minutes about this great product. Do you think we can give one away?
Oh, definitely.
Do you think we can give one away?
We should probably give two away because we have two colors.
Okay, what do you have?
I have white and black.
Okay.
We haven't thought of any like sexy names like carbon and
Arctic and white. Exactly.
Just white and
ice.
Black.
Ice. Something like that. Well, why don't we do this? We'll have people email me major@xbox.com and I'll do a random drawing. We'll pick a couple of people out and we'll send them off.
Right on.
And I'll send you the names and you can just mail them and you'll be fine.
So we got to get you some speaker tags.
Yeah, we need the Major Nelson speaker tags. Yeah. And people probably are trying to get their head around it. I'll put a link up to Astro Gaming.
And you guys listening, you should tell them that if you want to buy them, like if you want to just buy a collectible Major Nelson speaker tag,
just let me know.
You know, we'll do a run of them.
And they can go over to Astro Gaming if they want to buy these for their significant other in their house who plays games and probably a little too loud.
Yeah, if you have a marriage that you want to save, if you value your life.
I'm telling you I'm telling you guys and girls, this is the key. So Josh, I appreciate you coming down and we'll give those away and we'll have some fun and I'll look forward to seeing you around, man. Nice work.
Cheers.
On the line with me is Jen Losey, who is the associate producer for Aces of Galaxy, which is an Xbox Live Arcade title available now for download. Jen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great. So you have Aces of Galaxy is a brand new arcade title that's available on the Xbox Live Arcade. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's an exciting space shooter game. It's very... I'm babbling already, and I just started. Aces of the Galaxy is a space shooter thrill ride on XBLA. It takes you down sort of an old-school rail game where you're piloting against the terrors of the Skirgian Empire. You've stolen their prototype ship, and they are chasing you through three different beautiful environments. You've got a bunch of great weapons, and we've got slow-mo, we've got torpedoes, we've got a chain gun, we've got cluster missiles, and we've got some funny aliens chasing us through some really pretty places.
So that's a pretty heavy story for a shoot-'em-up game. Are you afraid that the story's going to get lost with people just going crazy and shooting things?
We've got a lot of funny comments from the aliens. They'll actually kind of haze you as you're playing. So I've never been called a sentient cheese mound before in a video game. This is the first time.
Right.
We have sort of mini-bosses if you sort of, you know, you want to go back to like 1942 where the bosses kind of show up, you know, in the middle of the level and, you know, you can fight it out with them and they'll hopefully you take them out, but they'll completely mock you if you don't. So if they get through the end of the level and they're still alive, they're going to tease you about it. But they'll also give you some shame if you do take out their friends. They'll send the next guy after you, and they'll just make fun of your puny human self.
So it's a shooter with a little bit of attitude.
It has some attitude. It's fun. It takes itself, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's got a great sense of humor behind it, which is nice to see. You don't see that a lot anymore.
Yeah, now I want to talk to you about some of the features. What can we expect for multiplayer?
Multiplayer, you can play co-op, local, or over Xbox Live.
Wow.
I live in a two-gamer house, so I'm always excited when there's something I don't have to fight for the controller over.
Well, you know, you just need to buy another Xbox.
You do.
That's how you solve that problem.
Yes, so we've got two-player co-op, and you can play with a friend, and you'll actually share the slow-mo power, so that's kind of fun as long as your friend's not hogging it.
Right.
But it's great because there's a lot of stuff on the screen, and there's, depending on which way you want to go through the game, there's actually three different areas you can fly through. One of them is more like asteroid based, so if you're a big Star Fox fan, you really like dodging around stuff, you're going to want to play through that. So if you're playing with somebody who's maybe not as good and runs into stuff a lot, then you could take it down easy. We've got three different difficulties, and you can choose one of the other paths that might not have as many things flying at your face as often.
Now, you talked about the slowdown. Explain to us what that's called and how it works.
We've got a slow-mo as one of our weapons on the ship, and what it'll do is there's a little bar that'll go on your screen and let you charge up over time, and then when it's full, you can go ahead and use that bullet time style. You'll go faster than everybody else, and there's two ways that are really great for using that. One is if you're really about your score and you want to take out as many things as possible, you can use it to really get everything on the screen. But we've also got something that's kind of fun. We've got branching paths in here, and there'll be glowing enemies once in a while will show up. And if you can take them all down, or if you get them in a certain speed, you'll go down a different route through the level. So you can use the slow-mo there to make sure you've gotten everybody so you can try to go down one of the other paths.
So there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Now, I want to talk to you about what are some of the other titles that your studio has kicked out?
Oh, we just recently released Assault Heroes 2. Very exciting. Assault Heroes is a big hit, and
yep.
They went in and added some really cool features. There's actually, you can jump in with your friends and play co-op without having to go through the entire game. There's an ice weapon now to freeze people and run them over, which I think is a lot of fun. One of the cool things that I think between the original Assault Heroes and the new one is when you go down to like the bonus areas, it's up close now and it doesn't kick you out if you die like I did pretty quickly in the old one.
Right.
Another game I worked on is Commander's Attack of the Genos. It's a turn-based strategy game that's a lot of fun. If you're a big fan of Advance Wars, you will love Commander's.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Boogie Bunnies.
Oh, Boogie Bunnies, a favorite.
You know, there's a lot of guys I know that love the bunnies,
yeah.
And they're a little embarrassed about it, but it's like a sort of match three game, but there's bunnies, and they're trying to get to Hollywood to be on a dance show, and it's pretty funny. So that's a lot of
fun. So you guys have worked on a lot of arcade
titles. We have a lot of different kinds of games, and we're excited. You know, we've got, obviously, Battlestar is one of ours, so we're going back into space again.
It feels, in fact, I was looking at the game, and it feels a little like it's got the Battlestar engine going on.
It's an entirely different developer.
Yeah.
Artek actually is the same developer as Boogie Bunny. So they gave us a bunny game and a very cool, intense space shooter.
Wow.
Almost at the same time. They're a pretty amazing group of folks up in Canada.
Yeah, that's really two different ends of the spectrum, or galaxy, as it were.
Now,
as you must be very excited about Xbox Live Arcade because it's a great way for you to distribute content.
It is. It's great to, be able to do such a variety of games and get them to people so easily. You could, go on and you're like, gosh, I really wish there was a cool space shooter, and here's Aces of the Galaxy, or maybe, you are into strategy, or maybe you really love Gin Rummy. Well, we've got that coming, so there's a lot of different choices, and you don't have to go all the way to the store and, put on your sneakers. It's right there for you, and it's $10.
But you've got some more titles coming out for Xbox Live Arcade.
We do.
That's good to hear. Well, listen, Jen, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out to tell us about Aces of the Galaxy, which is available now on the Xbox Live Arcade, and it's available for 800 points, correct?
That's it.
Cool. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you online doing a little Aces of the Galaxy.
Thanks so much. I'll hope to see you in co-op.
All right, I'm here aboard the Northwestern with Sig Hansen. Captain, thank you for allowing me aboard.
Thank you for being here.
So I'm excited to chat with you because you're a fishing star, you're a TV star with the Deadliest Catch, and now you're going to be a gaming star.
Well, I don't know if we're exactly a star, but we're getting a hell of a lot of attention. How about that?
I've seen a lot of groupies, but you've got the Deadliest Catch, the game coming out very soon. Tell us about the game and how it translates to what people see on the show.
Well, I think the game is going to translate really well because that's the whole point of the game,
right.
know. when we thought of doing this thing, we thought, well, I mean, I've had thousands of emails across our website asking, how do you do this? Why do you do this? What's it like to be a captain and run your boat? And then it just kind of hit us. Let's do a game. Let's let them figure it out for themselves.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be very similar to what you'd experience on the ocean
right.
as a captain. And what I was kind of, what I really wanted to see most is the responsibilities of what a captain has to go through every day. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as, you know, making sure that your boat is operating efficiently, the crew is operating efficiently, you've got the best guys for the job, and then keeping your boat safe. And so the game will show you all that. It's got icing conditions, you know, foul weather.
Right.
It's got the nasty seas in there. It's got fire, flooding, all these dangerous situations that might occur with us on an everyday basis.
That have probably occurred with you in the past.
Well, yeah.
With your many years of being a captain.
And still kicking.
And still kicking. Now, I noticed when I came in down in the galley, was that an Xbox 360 I saw down there, or did you throw it overboard yet?
That was an Xbox 360, and the first time I saw it, I wanted to throw it overboard. I mean, for me, that was like a big transition to see the guys playing Xbox while we had maybe a 3-hour run,
right.
Or maybe we had a day off, while we're unloading or something. And I'm thinking, man, what are you guys doing? You know, right. If you're leaning, you could be cleaning.
Right.
And then I just, okay, fine. I let it go. I figured this is a new generation. It's right. a new era.
Right.
And then I didn't argue it, but I really wanted to throw the thing over the side when I saw it the first time.
Were they ever downstairs playing the game and then when there was work to be done out on deck?
Oh, yeah. I've had to wait for them because they were playing the game. And then it's like, okay, we're on the gear. And I go down to grab my coffee. That's kind of our routine. It's like, okay, you get on your first bag.
Right.
You run down real quick. You grab your coffee, whatever you need. And then as I'm going up, I notice that they're still playing the game.
Right.
It's like, you guys are supposed to be on deck waiting for me. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. You're the captain.
Well, yeah, we don't waste time, but, you know, it's. Maybe I'm starting to get easier in my old age.
No, I don't know about that. It's because I've seen this, you know, I've been watching the show. There's a lot of fans of the show, and I started talking about you being a TV star. That's got to be pretty amazing to make the transition from being a captain to being on TV every week and just having a lot of people want to talk to you, like me, coming down to do a podcast with you.
Well, it's kind of flattering.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll admit that. Well, for example, just driving down here, you know, we're down on the boat right now.
Right.
And I'm on my way down and, you know, there's a truck in front of me and this girl's looking back and, you know, her husband or whatever he was are looking in the rearview mirror and then the guy starts freaking out.
Yeah.
He opens his door. It's a red light. He's about to jump out and come to me.
Right.
You know, then
and you're locking your doors at that point.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, guys, you know, big deal. But right. It's flattering, you know. I suppose they're big fans of the show. I just don't think people should jump out of their cars in the middle of traffic to go say hi.
That's dangerous.
Well, yeah, it's kind of cool, but yeah, not the greatest idea.
Now, I want to get back. We can talk a little bit about the game more. Now, you talked that you really walked through. Now, I played the training level of the game. It's kind of cool because as you're training, I mean, I'm standing right here with you. You're sitting in the captain's chair. And it looks exactly like this. So you really captured what it's like to be the captain of the Northwestern.
Well, right. That's the idea.
Yeah.
I think the thing's got there's quality, but as far as gameplay, that was important. But then again, we were pretty adamant about the accuracy of the vessel and you know, the layout and everything. And
right.
guys that take that tour, you know, when you do your virtual tour, I guess you
yep.
call it, going
yep.
through there. I mean, it's nuts on.
Is it going to be different? Is it tough for you to, you know, you're giving up the helm virtually to people, thousands of gamers around the world soon to pilot your vessel?
Right.
That's got to be a little weird.
Hey, they can pilot all they want. Just stay the hell off my boat.
Yeah, exactly. But it's great because in the first level that I went through and you pop up on screen. I mean, it's you with video. It's not animated Sig. It's real Sig on screen and video.
Well, real Sig is better looking.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, you're telling people, hey, this is what you need to do. You're showing them how to steer the ship. Now, I haven't had the chance to play further on in the game, so tell us a little bit about what people can expect as they get deeper and deeper in the game.
Well, that's the thing. It's like fishing. I mean, you learn as you progress.
Right.
And so it is a learning game. I mean, it's one of those things where you got to have patience.
Right.
And so I never expected the game to be this, you know, fast shoot 'em up game and,
yeah.
and, you know, action every second. That's not the way it is. That's not fishing.
Right.
So you need patience. You got to get through each level. And as you progress, then, of course, it's going to get harder. And when it gets harder, it's more weather. There's other little things that pop up to where you've got these scenarios popping up. So you're not going to start off on this level where it's just crazy and, you know, your guys are going over the side and all that stuff. You progress. And as you learn.
It's a nice slow on-ramp to the terror.
Right, right. Well, I mean, let's face it. Nobody's going to jump in the wheelhouse of a boat like this and then go run it and think they can do that in 40-foot seas.
Gamers will. Well, they think they can.
They think they can, but in real life, you can't, or you'll kill somebody.
Precisely.
And the game duplicates that.
Right.
So get real, learn how to be the captain first, and then go out and kill people.
The other thing I noticed when I was playing that first level is the first thing you do is you have to pay respect to the Coast Guard. You have to let that cutter cross.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of interesting, is that you're introducing this Coast Guard element as well. Do we get to run into the Coast Guard later on in a positive way?
You can run into them any way you want to. Yeah, they're out there. And it's actually the first game that the Coast Guard's ever been in.
Oh, really?
So that's a real big deal for us and for them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, deservingly so, they should be in the game.
Yeah.
And we respect the hell out of those guys.
Now, there's a lot of characters, for lack of a better term, in the TV series. In addition to what we see in the Northwestern, do we see anybody else, or is it pretty much focused on your crew?
No, we've got the Cornelia Marie in there and the Sea Star, guys that have been on the show. We've got a lot of the characters, they're all real, to
sure.
Dutch Harbor.
Right.
My uncle's in the game. There's fishing legends like Gunleif Lockingholm. He's a guy that I respected as a kid. Mm-hmm. Always tried to beat him fishing, you know. He was very competitive, so that was one of my mentors. And,
right.
And, you know, I wish my dad was around these days. That would have been neat to have him in the game, but...
He was, of course, a famous fisherman.
He was a legend, you know. He passed away a few years back, but he's a pioneer.
Right.
And some of the old-timers in the game were pioneers of this industry, so it's a privilege to have them in the game.
Now, when you talk about pioneers in fishing, people probably can't wrap their heads around that. What makes them a pioneer? What were they doing first that really, what were they doing? Just curious.
Well, I mean, you know, the fishery didn't really start till like the late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
And so these guys were pioneers as far as the type of boats they used.
So they were blazing the trail.
They were blazing the trail with boats that were unlike this one. They were wooden. They were small.
Right.
They were just fishing off the shore and crazy because they didn't know the area. They had no idea about the currents that were around the islands and where they fished, and they just did it.
And now you have all that data that, as we say in computer business, you have all that data that your father and the rest of them collected. I see you looking at that right here on the map table, you know, in the show. So do we get to do that? Do you learn some of those tips and tricks that you've gathered over the years in the game?
I think in the game it's something that you got to learn for yourself.
Okay.
And that's fishing. I mean, I can go and try to cheat and use a lot of the information that my old man had and whatever, but the reality is every season is different. And so no matter what, you may have a hot spot and then that was just great 5 years ago and you think that's going to be the end all be all. It's usually not.
Right.
So fishing is just searching. That's all you're doing,
right.
You know. You're hunting.
Right.
And, there's always places that are going to be a little better than others, but in reality, it's never the same.
Now, in addition to what we call the single-player game in video games, is there an Xbox Live component on that? There's up to eight people. And so technically, I could probably fish against Sig.
Oh, he's going to be fishing. That's the league already with 40 captains already signed up.
So we've got 40 captains. So there's actually an online component as well, which is really exciting. So you're actually going to be able to run against some virtual captains.
Yeah.
But you're going to kick their ass.
Well, I don't know. They're virtual captains.
You're the real deal.
I'm the real deal. But then again, as far as gamers are concerned, you know, I'm not experienced in the gaming department as they might be. So
yeah, but you bring real world experience, which in a lot of ways yes, so that's what people really want to hear. They want to hear you talking trash and challenging them and just burying them. I mean, that's going to be really fun.
It'll be fun. It'd be a blast if I could kick their ass, because you know, I'm not the end all be all gamer guy, yeah, hopefully my experience will spank them a little and teach them a lesson.
Are you surprised at the interest in not only the TV show, but eventually now the game, of doing what you've been doing for many, many years, and then, of course, your dad before you? You know, are you surprised that people are like, wow, this fishing thing is kind of cool?
I'm surprised for the fact that, I mean, I didn't think it'd go this long.
Yeah.
People are just, they're hooked on the show. And, you know, we thought it'd be a one-year documentary done deal, and it just keeps going. It snowballs.
Yeah.
So that's real flattering to see that. At the same time, it doesn't surprise me, because everywhere I've gone, if you know, on a plane or train or you name it, there's always a guy you run into, and you know, I don't care if it's a doctor, lawyer, or a gynecologist, they're going to end up talking to us about what we do and our fishing life. And how can you do that? Are you nuts?
So do you talk to the gynecologist and ask him how you can do that?
Yeah. I want to, let's trade jobs for a day.
Now, I noticed that, you know, we talked about the computers and all of that, but there's a lot of technology on your boat. I mean, I see the radios up here. I see the radar or whatever you guys are calling this. I call it radar. But as technology over the years, I assume it's made your job easier.
Well, the technology's here, but it's not like you can find the crab with this stuff. You know, you're just finding your positions is all you're doing.
Right.
So radars, yeah, that's good so you don't hit another boat.
Right, that's a bad thing.
The plotter's great so that you know where you're at, you know. I mean, that's been a big change for us. Before, you kind of just wrote your bearings down and you just kind of plotted your...
Do you have a sextant?
We do not have a sextant on this boat. The only sextant on this boat would be my brother Edgar.
So what I'm getting at is that technology's kind of helped you find your way a little bit better, but as you said, it doesn't help find the...
No, it doesn't help find the crab, but it helps you pinpoint the crab, which is real nice. You know, before, if you didn't have a plotter, you'd just have the bearings written down, and you had to have it in your head.
Right.
I used to scribble down my own plots on a piece of paper and just kind of get an idea of roughly where I'm at, but plotter's nice, you know. No, we're not babies because we have this equipment. It just makes us more efficient.
Just makes you more efficient, which is the key.
Oh, yeah, that fleet of ours is a crab-killing machine, man. I mean, it is. And if they let us go, we could wipe it out right now. We don't want to wipe out our industry. We want to keep the crab, but we're a lethal weapon is what we are.
Now, and I'm noticing right behind us we're up in the captain's chair right now, and you're sitting in it. The door is plywood. What happened here? Did you rip it off?
Did you pass high school? Do you have a high school diploma?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, the door is being replaced.
Well, the only reason I asked is because on the last show that I saw, you actually were pretty pissed and you went through the door and were yelling at the guys.
Okay. Well, maybe I had to replace it. Yeah. Plywood door. Plywood door. We're getting a new door put in there.
Good, good. Well, you got two of them, actually, one on the other side.
Two new doors.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the game.
So that's what you get with a diploma, huh?
That's that and a microphone.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get back to the game. How long was the game in development? How long have you been working on it?
Oh, it's been over 2 years now. I think we've got a good 2 years into this.
Were you surprised when you started developing the game? Now, this is exclusive on the Xbox 360. Were you surprised when you were developing and how much it went into making the game, whether it was, the sound, the video, you know, all the different pieces?
Oh, yeah, it blew me away. I mean, the attention to detail and everything they need to do and just getting it through, just getting it passed, you know, through their inspection, let's call it.
Well, you have an inspection on the boat.
Well, sure, but I'm an easygoing guy, man. These guys are down to the nut. They want every little thing, you know, everything's tweaked. So, I mean, I can't believe how much it went into it, but I'm assuming it'll pay off. I'm assuming that it's worth it, that people will, you know. I guess gamers are real big on detail,
and so
I'm learning more and more, and last guy I want upset is some little gamer getting all PO'd at us, and I don't need, you know, 50,000 gamers chasing me down the street because I gave them a crappy game or something.
Right. Yeah, they're pretty vocal, and they'll find you.
Or they'll find me on the internet, you know, and they'll chase me down on the computer.
Or they'll complain. I've heard they complain on the internet sometimes. I don't know.
I know. You know what I like about the internet?
What?
You can always turn the off.
That's exactly right. You can just turn it off and walk away. Now, the we talked about the detail in the game. What else, you know, clearly people are going to be up here, you know, piloting the ship. But what are some of the other things they do in the game? I mean, they're out there on the deck and they're crabbing. But do they do some other cool stuff? Some of the mini games?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of mini games. They've got where you're throwing the hook. You can kind of play against other guys there as far as points and you know, do that. And then the weather gets a little worse there too to make it a little more challenging. Another mini game they've got is the skiff, where you can challenge your buddies there, and that's got a little more action to it, where it's a little faster, and that's kind of fun. I can't do it very well, I'll admit that, but
it'll make a fun mini game.
Yeah, and the skiff's fun because it's got a little more speed. And I watch these gamers play, and they had a hard time because, you know, the waves are pushing you. It's not like you're driving a car and it just goes when you point it one direction.
Right.
You've got the waves and everything, the wind pushing the skiff around. So it was really hard for them to steer to begin with. And they had to get used to that, you know.
Right.
So that's so just like in real world.
Let's talk about, you know, a lot of people see the Northwest, your vessel, on TV, you know, based on what the TV producers want to show us. But there's actually a virtual tour, correct?
Yeah.
And what parts of the ship do we see? Do we get to see your cabin?
Yes, for the first time you get to see my cabin, my private little cave.
Yes, exactly.
Stay the hell out. But I guess, you know, for the game, I let him in and And so they'll see the captain's cabins. Yeah. You even get to see the throne, the toilet.
You do?
Oh, it's a beauty.
It's luxurious down there. I saw it when I came through.
Oh yeah, you can't beat it.
Kids, if you want to be a captain, I'm telling you, this is what you get to do.
Yeah, when you get to the top, you get your own 10x10 cell. And then you get a virtual tour of the engine room, the galley, all the staterooms, you know. Right. And then, of course, the engine room is just nuts on.
Right.
And I thought that was really impressive the way they did that, because I know there was a lot of work that went into that engine room.
Right.
Because a lot of cylinders and a lot of the shapes that are hard to duplicate.
Right.
And so that took a lot of doing.
Yeah, I understand that. In fact, I was just looking with some of the press information. There's over 3,000 photos taken of the engine room alone. I mean, That's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of work going in there. A
lot of work going in there. We had the easy job. We just had to sit there, talk, and look pretty, man. That was fun.
Now, I talked earlier on about the videos of you popping. You're sitting right here, and you pop up and talk into the camera and tell people, you know, hey, let the Coast Guard pass, and so on and so forth. How long did it take for you to do your piece of the on-camera part?
Well, for me, I mean, we had the guys come up and film us during a trip.
Right.
So twice they were up here, and so we got to know some different cameramen, not the Discovery guys, but right. These were for the game. And so, you know, we got them sick. They got to learn what a boat was really like.
Right.
And that was fun to watch them throw up because that was payback, because they were in my face, you know, day and night.
Right.
And we did a lot of takes. You know, you got to think there's the lighting problem, and then there's the weather.
Did
and
they
then
put makeup on you?
No, there's no makeup. No.
I just figured I'd ask.
No makeup.
That's so there's a lot of work that went into it. And you said it took a 2-year journey, and it's almost, I mean, it's going to be available really soon. And people are excited about that. Now, I'm going to let you go in just a minute, but I want to find out, are you going to be going to a local appearance someplace for the game launch, like maybe a GameStop or something?
Yeah, we want to get to a GameStop or whatever it takes, man. I like to meet the different type of fans out there.
Right.
The gamers, they're in their own little world. I'll admit that, you know. Well, but I mean, we still want to, the guys that are into the show and into the game, they're like a whole breed of their own. It's kind of cool. You know, they get into it.
They do, and it's going to be so the
and it's fun meeting people when it's scheduled, when you can get a bunch of guys together and really go for it, when you know that this is why I'm here. Well, instead of grabbing you in some casino down in Vegas and ripping half your shirt off.
Right. I've been there. I know what that's like.
Yeah, it's tough. I bet you do. Well, you're a sexy guy.
Yeah, like right back at you. Now, one of the things we've done with the Xbox community is we do these things called meet and eats, which is we'll go to Las Vegas and I'll say, hey, I'm going to be in Vegas. Let's meet at this burger joint and we're going to get together and, you know, it's 7 o'clock and I'll buy everybody hamburgers. If we do a meet and eat in Seattle over the next month, would you come down?
I'd love to come
down. Do you like hamburgers?
Sure. Well, yeah, I love hamburgers. Who doesn't?
Exactly. We're going to go to Red Mill right after this.
We're going where?
Red Mill. That's where Eric and I are going. We're going to Red Mill, which is a great burger place.
Is there booze there?
I don't think. No, there's.
Oh,
no.
I ain't going.
All right,
either.
So I'll work on the meet and eat with the with Sig in Seattle. And
you're
a wuss.
You got to have a beer with your burger, man.
I. Hey, the police are here. Look, see the police.
It's a boat policeman.
It's the boat police.
They're going to put us in boat jail.
That's the worst kind of jail. Now,
this is a jail. Try fishing for 9 months. Tell me how you feel.
Do you actually?
It's a freaking jail on this thing.
So I was going to say you're on board for 9 months.
We have fished on this boat for 11 months out of the year at times. Last year, we spent 9 months. The year before was maybe 6 to 7.
So how do you fight the boredom before you had an Xbox
360? There's no boredom. Work your ass off. There's no boredom.
So it's just 9 months of pure.
There can be boredom, but then, you know, you get used to it.
Do you play?
You play Xbox.
Well, I was going to say, I noticed all the computers.
You watch a movie.
Do you have solitaire on one of these? Captain ever
they
up
can play with themselves. I don't care.
I'm going to let you go, but the game is. The game. Oh, hold on. We got a couple more things we want to talk about here. Hold on. I'm actually getting notes. You have a staff. I didn't realize that Sig has a staff.
Yes, I moved up a notch.
So why don't you play? Why don't you play music on board?
Music. I don't play music on board ever. When I was younger, I was running the boat, and one of our crew members was damaged. He got hit by a wave.
He was injured.
He was launched, and he chipped his spine. And the reason that happened, I don't know for sure, but I was playing music. We had like 4 pots to haul. We were going to be full, and it was a beautiful morning. It was right after a storm, and this rogue wave came out from nowhere. And that's when it happens, you know.
Right.
It was calm, but then you still got that surge, that tidal action going on. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw the wave, but I was listening to music. I feel like if I had not been listening to music, I may have been able to avoid that situation.
Avoided,
you hit the buzzer and the guys run like rats, man. They're just scattering. But You know, by the time I hit it, it was a half a second too late, and I just never play music ever.
So now you don't have any music on board.
No, and most captains will play music while they're hauling gear. I just can't do it.
That's too bad. Well, that's interesting.
Cause we'll have to hum.
It keeps you focused.
You got to be focused. Yeah. I mean, people do get hurt. This is real.
Now, people see you on the television, and they're like, "Oh, I'd like to be a captain." You clearly didn't start as a captain. You worked your way up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was on deck, of course, and I was fishing at the age of 14, and we fished for, like, if I was in Norway, I would fish for cod and mackerel.
I thought they have laws that prevent that now. You can't be working.
Well, I mean,
14.
That was, you know, we're no. I don't know if they have laws. Who cares? I mean, you fish.
Yeah.
And then fish for salmon as a kid, you know, in Bristol Bay. And then if I got done with that, I'd jump on this thing and fish crab if there was a season afterward. So I mean, I was always leaving school early and late for school when it started, but made a lot of money.
How long was it before you captain?
Well, as far as captain, I was 22 when I got my first taste of it, and that was just as a relief captain.
Right.
So the guy that ran this boat, his name was Tom Christensen. Him and I switched off and on. Uh-huh. And then at 26, I was full-time. So I was the youngest guy in Alaska to do this, as far as I know.
Well, I pale in comparison, but this is actually a little-known fact. I'm actually a fisherman. My dad was a fisherman, and I used to go fishing, bass fishing and trout, and the little stuff in lakes back east.
Awesome, fun.
So it's totally different than what this is like. So that's why I have an unbelievable amount of respect for what you guys do on the show and you as a captain each week. So it's really exciting to see what you guys are going to do and then translate that into the video game. And as I say, I played a little bit of it, and it really does capture the taste of it. The water looks great.
Oh, the water's awesome, man. That's important. It's never been done like that.
Now, is it possible when you're on deck that you could get kicked over in a wave?
Don't kick you over. It kind of
sucks you over.
Yeah. But yeah,
that can happen in the game.
Yes, and I mean, we want to keep it real. We don't want a lot of blood and guts and all that. But yeah, of course, you're going to get thrown over if you're not careful.
There's no dual wielding or anything like in some of these other games, like a Halo.
No,
it's just pretty straight up.
Why don't we save it for the next game?
Got it. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. Sig, I appreciate you allowing me on board and chatting with me a little bit about your game. And it's coming out very soon. And Xbox 360 fans are going to be very excited about it. And they can see you on the game, or they can see you each week on the Discovery Channel, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
You bet.
And that was Captain Sig. That was a fun interview, wasn't it?
That was awesome.
So yeah. He was... sorry about the bleeps there, but well, he's a sea captain.
He is.
That's what they do.
Yes.
They drink, they smoke, and they swear.
Yeah, apparently.
So it
was very cool, and he was very nice.
Deadliest Catch is going to be out. It's going to be out very soon, so keep an eye on Xbox.com, and I'll make sure that we know. As you heard, we're trying to get Sig to appear at an event here in Seattle, if he's going to be in Seattle, so we'll let you know. And we got to get him for that meet and eat.
Sig and meet and eat? That would be awesome.
Well, I hope the community would be into that.
I think there's enough overlap between gamers and Discovery Channel fans.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about Mythbusters and things like that,
right. Everybody gets it. So, yeah. The other thing is in the original interview, the first interview with Josh, he was talking about we're going to give away two of those the headsets. Yes. And what we're going to do is I'm actually going to give away one of them, have people mail in. The second one I'm going to give away with Name the Game in just a minute.
Very nice.
So we're going to go ahead and do that.
Those are nice headsets. I got a chance to try them last week.
Really?
And yeah. They are comfortable. Okay. Yeah. The thing I liked about them was you open the box and it comes with a million connectors.
Yeah, I mean everything you could possibly need.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to connect it to a PC, a Mac, a console, a stereo, whatever you need, the cables are in the box.
I could not get it working with my 8-track.
I'm not going there.
No, they're great, great, great units. So we'll go ahead and give those. We'll give away one for just random email. Send me an email, major@xbox.com, and then we'll give away Name the Game. Let's do Name the Game right now.
Let's do it.
All right, this is the Name the Game from last time. All right. Since the last show we did was right around Memorial Day, that was History Channel Civil War.
Oh, very.
And a few people did get that. I was actually quite surprised. So congratulations! In fact, the winner for this week, winner, gamer tag. Let me. Where is it? I have it on here somewhere.
Now, is this one of those ones that we can read, or is it lead? It's pretty lead.
Velveteen Scarlet.
Yes, but it's written in
right. Elite. It's Elite. So, Velveteen Scarlet, you grabbed yourself the Astro Gaming headset.
Congratulations!
Congratulations! So that's well done. I'll be in touch with you how you can get that, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you miss, that's fine. Just send me an email, major@xbox.com, to enter to win the headset, and I'll pull a random one, or you'll pull a random one, or I'll have Josh pull a random one.
Yep.
But we're going to. This is really confusing because now we're going to play Name the Game. So we're going to stop and we're going to play Name the Game. Here's the Name the Game sound clip for this week. All right, very simple. Here it is. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, and enter to win.
I think I know what
that
is.
Were you waving at me? Did you have something to say?
I'm good.
Okay.
But I think I know what that is.
Okay. So. Okay, well, if you do, keep it to yourself, because you can't win.
Which sucks.
E is not eligible. E is not eligible.
Can I have other people enter for me?
You cannot has enter people enter for you.
So cannot has?
Cannot has.
I'm infecting you. You're going to be the LOL major.
So we had some pretty exciting news that you have a list of news coming up.
We did, yeah, amazingly, with all the news we talked about, we didn't get through it all.
Right. So let's go back and let's go. Not that it's not important. Let's also back up a little bit. There's no priority in this show.
Yes, this is not the second class news.
No, this there's no priority in this show.
I think anyone who listens is well aware of the fact that we just kind of ramble randomly around the things we want to talk about.
Right. It's a long, we take the scenic journey.
There you go.
So we take the scenic journey.
It's the weekend. We're enjoying ourselves.
Yes. And hopefully you're enjoying our show, and let's see what we have for news.
If not, they're not listening anymore.
Right. They left a long time ago.
Yeah. So what do you got? News that we did not get to.
News you can use.
The additional episodic content for GTA 4
mm-hmm.
has been, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, has been delayed.
Why are you using air quotes, Eddie?
Because it was a very confusing story the way it was presented, and I want to try and clarify that.
So GTA has downloadable content coming out exclusively on the Xbox 360, and the story is?
So the story that broke was that the content was delayed until quarter one of 2009. The important thing to note is it was delayed until THQ, they're the publisher that publishes GTA, it was delayed until their fiscal quarter one of 2009, which is not the same thing as saying
the calendar year.
Calendar year 2009.
So why don't you go ahead and give us, when is their fiscal year 2009?
So quarter one of their fiscal 2009 is this November 1st until the end of January 2009. So the content still may come out this year.
We don't know.
No, we don't know.
Right.
But it could come out in November or December of this year and still fit into that delayed period.
Right. So first glance, yeah, so who knows? Only Rockstar knows. We certainly don't know.
Right. And they may not even know yet.
What else you got?
So we should have talked about this at the top 10, but I managed to space it.
Yeah.
But big announcement from Activision.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty 4,
COD 4
has now shipped 10 million copies. So congratulations, guys.
And for that, you know what they need? The achievement unlock sound. Congratulations to you guys for unlocking that achievement. 10 million sold.
Shall we just say congratulations to 402 and let him take all the credit?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if you... And that's let's also back up a little bit. That's across all the platforms, right?
That was... I remember seeing an announcement that was cross every that was every platform except Mac or something like
right.
that. But it was 360,
which was PC, a majority of it, from what I understand.
Mac?
Yeah. No, not the Mac. The 360. What are you doing to me? Good God! All right. What else for news?
I think now we may have covered most of the big stuff.
All right. So, right about now is when we normally do Xbox 101, which we're going to do. I don't want to let you down.
I have an Xbox.
And you have one, but I'm a little. Which intro would you like? Would you like the old school one, or would you like the new one?
Ooh. I gotta admit, I like the new one.
All right, here it is.
Sorry, Funky.
Now, it's time for Xbox 101 with Major Nelson and E.
Okay, so this may come as a complete shock to regular listeners, but when we sat down to record this, I didn't have an Xbox 101 ready. But one occurred to me as we were recording, and I went, aha, there's one that is actually timely. We were talking about all the demos that are available. And some of these demos are pretty big, like the Civ and Battlefield Bad Company demos are both well over a gig.
Yes.
I think they're 1.2, 1.5 gigs, something like that.
They're big boys.
So even on a nice broadband connection, they're going to take a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how I downloaded them and realized, wait a minute, okay, some of our listeners may not know about this feature, time to share.
Okay.
The feature I'm talking about is background download.
Okay, which was a feature that we added actually after the Xbox 360 launched.
That's right. We added it in one of the dashboard updates. And specifically, I'm talking about not just background download, but the ability to continue a download after you turn the console off.
Ooh, explain.
So if you have background downloads enabled, you can then start a demo or start a download of any kind.
Or you could actually queue a bunch up.
Yes, you can queue up to six downloads up. Mm-hmm. So you could have six demos all set to download. Maybe it's a total of, you know, 5-10 gigs of content.
Much to E's chagrin, who's looking at all this, the little ticker go around. As well.
Yeah, hopefully you're doing this at night, so it's not costing like enormous amounts of money.
But it's okay. You get it as part of your Xbox Live membership.
Yes, do it whenever you want, and I'll worry about that part.
And that's ad-free, right, E?
That is ad-free.
Okay.
So you've got these downloads going on, but maybe it's time to go to bed.
Okay.
And this is how I downloaded the Civ demo.
So it's 8 o'clock at night and you're get tired and you want to go to bed?
No, that's you, Major. So you queue up the downloads.
Right.
And once you have this turned on, you can then turn your console off and it will go into a low power, not really off mode, finish all the downloads, and then put itself to bed and turn itself off when it's done.
Cool.
So what actually happens is you turn the console off and the power light will go off, but continue to blink every second or two. So it'll be off, and then you'll see the power light come on, and then back off. It'll wait a beat or two.
And if you put your ear up to it, you'll actually hear it spinning. If you've got the hard drive on the side, you'll hear it spinning a little bit.
Right, and it's a lot quieter than when it's normally on, because all it's doing at this point is just finishing the download.
Right.
And then when it's done, like I said, it'll turn itself off.
Right.
So to enable this, you need to be in the dashboard.
Yes.
So go to the system area of the dashboard. And the very first item is console settings. In console settings, there's a shutdown option.
Yes.
And you've got two options in here, auto off and background downloads.
Oh.
Enable background downloads. And once you've turned that on, the console will then finish any queued up downloads when you turn it off before it really goes to bed for the night.
And there you go.
Ta-da.
That's a great hint if you want to, like I say, queue up all those demos that we talked about, the Civ demo, Battlefield, Bad Company, Ninja Gaiden 2, Crash Time, NASCAR, and anything else that's out.
Grid, apparently.
Grid, there's a Grid demo out. So, yeah, you should go ahead and give. And those work with the wheel, by the way. Did you know that Grid and NASCAR work with the Xbox 360 wireless wheel?
I heard that. I need to get myself a wireless wheel.
That's a bit, yeah.
Because I'm hoping a wireless wheel would really help me with my driving.
I think it couldn't hurt.
I don't think so.
So. Oh boy, we're going to wrap the show. Hey, you know, this is actually an interesting piece, and I don't know how many people are interested in this in the other parts of the country, but do you know what happened 75 years ago this week? Actually, it was kind of last week, but I want to bring it up. 75 years ago last week.
I'm sitting here with a very confused look.
Well, it's summer.
It is not. Have you looked outside?
In other parts of the country and world, it is summer.
In some, it's winter.
But it's 70. That's true. In 75 years ago this week, the first drive-in movie opened.
Really?
Yes, I was in New Jersey, and it was in New Jersey, and they apparently 75 years ago. It was pretty cool.
And what was the first drive-in movie?
The first drive-in movie, it was called...
How did I know you'd have this piece of data? I can't see what's on your screen. I knew you'd know that.
Wives Beware.
Oh, boy.
So it was called the world's first automobile movie theater, and it was called Wives Beware. So
now, did you ever see Rear Window at a drive-in?
You know, that's one of my favorite movies.
I love the movie. It just went through my head. Great drive-in movie.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're looking around at other people, and that's what the people going on in the movie. And I absolutely love all the Hitchcock stuff, and that one is just unbelievable.
Are there any drive-ins left around here?
There is apparently a few left, but the one that's... there's actually one near Allentown, Pennsylvania, that's the second oldest theater. And it's still open. The one that I just talked about that is in New Jersey, that has been replaced by, and people in New Jersey will know, it's been replaced by a Zinman Furs. I was fascinated by it. There's only about 400 left in the U.S. At the height, there was over 4,063 open.
I remember when I was a kid, my parents used to take me to drive-ins all the time.
We used to go to this place in Connecticut down on the Berlin Turnpike. where there was a bunch of drive-in. And, you know, it was a basic, you know, main thoroughfare. There was restaurants and the seedy hotels and all the rest of that stuff. We would go to this drive-in down on the Berlin Turnpike. And it was a very strange place because right next to it, if I remember correctly, was a drive-in theater that would show older films for adults.
At a drive-in?
At a drive-in. So that's interesting. Those of you in Central Connecticut that remember that, I can't remember the name of that theater, so send me an email, but I've heard about it. And you actually used to be able to...
You just heard about it.
No, what was interesting about it is you could go behind the theater and up onto this road and watch the movie without being...
with no audio.
with no audio, of course, but did you really need the audio?
Well... Yeah.
So anyway, that's a little bit of non-gaming information there for you.
That would have been perfect for the after show.
Yeah, I don't know why. So we're gonna wrap the show up now and do what we need to do because I guess the show's really over, isn't it?
I think you just killed it.
I have no gadgets. I have nothing to talk about.
What?
I don't have any gadgets. I got nothing.
My jaw is just on the floor.
I haven't found anything I really need yet, so.
Wow.
So, okay. I'm still working on that. But do you have anything you want to talk about before? I mean, the music has started, so we're wrapping the show up right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. You said there's no gadgets.
The music, we're chasing you out, the music. So I want to thank our good friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, as well as CashFly for their caching services for this podcast. You have anything else you want to add? Because we're done.
If someone could make the rain stop, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, so this is Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson here, along with E, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint. And more importantly, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This is the after show.
This is the after. I should have saved the drive-in piece I found.
How did you stumble across that?
Believe it or not, I do prepare for this show.
Well, somebody needs to, and it's not going to be me.
It's not you. That's a well-known fact, but I just happened to come across. So you remember going to drive-ins?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember when they used to have?
I even remember like the place we used to go get food to, you know, take to the drive-in, and it was quite.
Oh, you didn't buy it there?
Well, we do that sometimes, but there was this incredible fried chicken in JoJo's place that was just to die for. So we'd get like a bucket. I remember my parents doing this and take it to the drive-in.
Was it like an older gentleman with a white suit and a little black tie? You know, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
This was not KFC.
Okay.
It was, and I just had the name a second ago,
and I just chased
it
right out of your head.
Out of my head. It's
the, I remember.
Fryer Tux. And they did not only really good fried chicken, Beaverton, Oregon.
Okay.
Really good fried chicken, but they did like these double fried JoJo's that were just to die for.
Because really, frying. By the way, speaking of frying, my wife, my TiVo had, I think I told you about this, recorded this fried things on like the Food Network or something.
Right.
And it was the history of all these fried things. And my wife was watching it with me. And she says, fried Mars bars, who's ever had that? And I turned around and said, I have with E. She says, when did you do that? So there's this whole conversation about all the different things that they fried. So
she needs to come over and I'll deep fry her.
Yeah,
stuff.
She was like, that looks good. And I said, yes, it is.
You know what's really good that I had, I think, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Turducken.
Yeah, which is what?
Oh, it's you take a chicken.
Yes.
Stuff it inside a duck.
Yes.
Take the duck, stuff it inside a chicken.
And you mean a turkey?
What did I say?
You said a duck. So it's chicken to duck to chicken? I think you mean chicken to duck to turkey.
Right. Yes. So hopefully everyone's following. It's amazing. This was ordered from Louisiana, from
where else would it come from, if you think about it?
Yeah. And we can put the link up. It was amazing. And we had all sorts of like traditional Louisiana food to go with it. Dirty rice, that kind of stuff. It was awesome.
You're going to have a heart attack, man. It's going to kill you.
I'm doing okay.
That's going to kill you.
No, I'm fine.
But I was remembering about drive-in movies is I remember one of the drive-ins, again, when I grew up in Connecticut, was closing, as a lot of them were years ago, and they were selling all their stuff. And I actually have, I don't think I've ever told you this, I actually have some of the original speakers that were on wires.
Oh, yeah.
That you used to put in,
the horrible mono audio things that you
with the little dial.
Hung on the side of the car.
Yeah, you hung on the side of your car. You rolled up the window or you rolled it down if it was warm out if you want to steam up the windows. But that was, I had one of those. I think I have two of them. I have to find them. I think they're out in my garage.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see those.
Because I was like,
I haven't seen one of those
these?
In decades.
Yeah, I got to go find them.
I can't remember the last time I went to a drive-in.
But I really need to find one out here in Seattle, but I do miss the drive-in experience because there's something special about it, being outside. And
It was a cool way to watch a movie. I mean, now, either I go to a really nice theater with friends,
right,
or I watch it at home.
Well, and I haven't talked about this, but we've been doing that at my house for 3 or 4 years, and you've been invited.
Your movie night.
Right, we do a drive-in movie. My wife puts this all together. My wife basically
Hang on. Are you going to schedule it better this year? Because last year you scheduled it during PAX.
Well, that was my wife.
That
it's
was
up to her. So
I need to talk to her?
Yes. So what we do is I get a friend of mine who works here at Microsoft, has access to a lot of different high-end video projectors. So we get a video projector, and I bring it outside, and we project it out in the lawn onto the side of the house, in this case the garage, because the garage has a wonderful reflective material that actually makes a really good screen. So
it's a fun way to watch a movie.
We project it onto the garage, and we have different movies. And we've been doing that for since we've been out here. And we couldn't find a drive-in movie, so we decided to make our own.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. I've gone twice,
now. Yeah, we've done different movies. Again, my wife basically designs it all, and she chooses the movie. My job is to, as usual, get the technology working, get the sound system ready.
You're the AV geek.
I'm the AV geek, as usual.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we do. So if you get a chance, I highly recommend it. It was like all the cool thing like last year, and we've been doing it for years.
I thought you were going to say, if you get a chance, you should come by this year and
watch
the movie.
No.
You're not going to invite your listeners over?
It's up to my wife. This is her party. And gentlemen, true. You know what it's like when your wife throws a party. You just do what she says and stay out of the way.
Yep.
So I'm going to, it's whatever she wants to do. So, all right, this is the after show. The after show is done, and we're going to go now.
It is finis.
This is, thank you for downloading the show. And
you already did that.
We may do a show next week.
We should do a show next week.
So
I predict we will have cool things to talk about.
As always. All right, man. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.